6 minutes after the hour. CNN is reporting that I'm not Stephanie Miller, however.
But that you are a dark-skinned man.
Right, I'm a dark-skinned man in a hood. All right. CNN also reporting that you are not Chris LaBoy, you are not Jim Ward.
Hey.
And this is not the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm fairly certain it is. I checked the tag in my underwear before I came.
I'm Deborah Norville.
You be Deborah Norville, honey, if you want to. Who do you want to be, Jim?
I'll be Katie Couric.
Okay.
You are perky. All right. Yeah, what a news day yesterday. Poor Wolf Blitzer. They'll have to leave it there.
They'll have to leave it there.
Can you tell his accent from the surveillance video? What? How would you be able to tell someone's accent from surveillance video?
Were you able to see his passport from the surveillance video?
Neither of those things were correct. The suspect was not arrested in the Boston bombing, and he clearly was not dark-skinned since nobody was arrested. So, all right then. Other than that,
had he been arrested, he would have been dark-skinned.
Just when we thought,
I'll leave it there.
Just when we thought nothing would ever top our favorite Wolf Blitzer moment ever, you remember Hurricane Katrina? We've done this with Aisha Tyler before.
Yeah.
Look at all those people. This is what happens when anchors have to fill time, Jim. Oh, Jack, look at all those people. So hungry, so poor.
So black.
Oh, yes, he did. It has provided all of the comedy fodder for Aisha Tyler and her husband, because she says literally every day at lunch, she says, I am
so hungry,
so black. All right, what's not funny about that? I just want to come over just for that. It's like a matinee performance every day at their house. And then there is a consolation prize was during the Republican primary when he said, the Santorum surge has led to a spurt in fundraising. I'm being told in my ear that I should spend more time with Mr. Google. All right.
Apparently Rick Santorum did have
a surge, A surge and a spurt.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, got that norovirus thing, apparently.
All right. So a lot to get to, obviously. I need to find out from somebody. I don't understand what's happening. The FBI is trying to decide whether to release this video. They apparently, that's the latest, the actual latest news, right?
Right.
Is they have a surveillance video and they're, you know, debating whether to release that to get help from the public or not. So, being described as a suspect. All right.
And also, overnight, we had that huge explosion.
What David Schuster was just saying,
At the fertilizer plant just outside of Waco, Texas. Now, they're saying it started with a fire, and, you know, that kind of fertilizer is flammable and can explode.
You don't know what's connected to what, because the rice and stuff, they're saying it's not connected, but it reminds you of anthrax stuff after 9/11. And you're
absolutely.
Going,
and the fertilizer is Timothy McVeigh's MO.
Right. You know, near the anniversary of Waco.
Right, and the first headline I saw is huge explosion near Waco, and I was like, what the, obviously.
And up to 15 people have been killed in that explosion.
Yeah.
And a nursing home roof collapsed, but I think all the patients were accounted for.
Yeah. So. And in another edition of We Hate Everybody Everywhere, the gun bill went down to defeat. Thanks to some Democrats, too. Isn't that great? 92% of Americans for background checks. That went down to defeat yesterday. We should call our friend Hot Bree, Melissa Fitzgerald, who I talked to yesterday.
Okay.
And I want to know just the message she left on Saxby Chambliss's machine. Because she said she called a bunch of Senate offices and couldn't get through. That one she got through. I'd give anything to get that voicemail. Saxby's probably still shaking in his boots.
Oh, sure.
Probably sounded like my response to Road Flare Mary.
Yes. Which made Melissa Fitzgerald and I pull over and pee our pants because we never heard the CU word used that many times and that creatively in one phone message.
As a verb, in fact, which is unusual.
I am reporting with pretty, I think, good accuracy that it is now time for, you know.
Oh, okay.
For, you know.
Yeah.
Right. You to be fired?
Well,
that's not what I meant.
Well-known dark-skinned man.
WolfBiteStrategies.com. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. What a day yesterday. What a news day, huh?
Well, I mean, if you can call it a news day. I mean, I don't know what the heck has been going on at any of the cable networks.
Yeah. Well, Fox News got it wrong, but you expect that.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I wanted to watch Fox News for anything, I mean, now would be the time to do it because they're actually covering breaking news. But, yeah, I don't expect them to get it right. And but it's been like watching a master class in how not to do it. I keep on waiting for James Lipton to pop up and say, audience, what's your favorite curse word?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, we were saying that when you have these fast-breaking events about, and you know, the 24/7 cable news environment where, you know, people anchors are filling, but you're right. You're just
But they're
not...
really not that fast-breaking. I mean,
right.
They're in the moment, but we don't have a lot of information. I mean, if you think about it, if CNN, MSNBC, and the rest of them had only reported what news they had, it would have been about 3 minutes of information, and they could have said, then come back later. We'll tell you what else we got.
Right.
But instead, it's like, there was a bombing. We've got surveillance video. The cops are doing X, Y, and Z. And now we're going to talk to people about what they think could happen, what type of bomb it could be, lots of coulds, woulds, shoulds.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Chris, just curious, I mean, is anybody saying that the Texas thing might I mean,
nobody is saying that yet.
Yeah.
Nobody's
yeah.
saying that. They're saying that was probably an accident.
There's video now. I mean, if you think about the reason that the fertilizer plant thing is such a big deal, if you think about how much fertilizer McVeigh used, it was like inside of a truck,
right?
And the damage it caused in Oklahoma City, you're talking about an entire plant of fertilizer. And if you look at the one video that I've seen of the explosion, it was ginormous.
Five blocks surrounding the plant have been completely decimated.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think it had anything to do with it other than coincidence, but I'm sure we will find in the coming days and weeks some right-wing radio host who will find a way to make it Obama's fault.
Alice Jones.
Excuse me? Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I already saw a Tea Party guy that blamed President Obama for Boston bombings.
Oh, yeah,
of
sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, if it even happened. I mean, according, Alex Jones, I heard.
Right. Right.
Somebody's got the Jones sniffles. It's only a matter of time before Obama's blamed for all of it.
Yeah. There has been an arrest, obviously, in the Ryson thing. And again, you know, Carl, we're still trying to determine, like, what's connected to what. A Mississippi man, Kevin Curtis. And by the way, not the brightest of criminals because he signed all his
letters. Yeah, that's connected to... Yesterday I was telling a friend, or yesterday morning, I'm like, I wonder if there's one of those bright bulb people that sends... Because I've gotten enough hate mail in my day to know that there's different varieties of hate mail. And sometimes they put their little, you know, YMCA return mailing address label on the envelope.
Yes.
Even if they don't, just out of force of habit.
Yeah.
Even if they don't sign the letter. Even if they purposely don't sign the letter.
Right. And the Ryson thing, hard to tell because obviously sent to President Obama and a Republican senator. The message was to see a wrong and not expose it is to become a silent partner in its continuance. I am KC and I approve this message. So, quite shockingly, authorities were able to apprehend KC rather quickly.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, we don't know what's connected to what.
Well, and he was an Elvis impersonator, so, I mean...
He is.
I'm going to look at those
figures.
People a little fishy from now on.
Yeah. They're so trustworthy.
Just outside of Tupelo, Mississippi.
Really? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay. you said it. You actually had a great tweet on all this. You said, during national tragedies, it'd be great if there was a news channel that didn't speculate for hours on end in lieu of hard facts. Hashtag Boston. I mean, I know it's and you, like I was asking Carl. I don't know what your take is on what the FBI is doing, like what they're kind of trying to figure out because they obviously scheduled a press conference several times and canceled yesterday. They're trying to figure out whether to make this video public, right?
Yeah, and I think they should be allowed to take their sweet time in getting this right. I don't want them rushed. I don't. You know what I don't look forward to is those press conferences where. Reporters, and this is not no slight against reporters, but reporters acting too cute by half to try and get extra information out of the FBI. I trust that we're going to get the information that we need, and that once they actually have somebody, we'll get the full story here.
Right.
But there's a lot of things to consider when when thinking about this stuff, I mean, if they've got video of the clear video of the suspect, you know, placing the bombs or whatever, they've got to take into consideration if they actually know who the person is, how dangerous they could be, if they could be, you know, where they might be, if they might be plotting something else. Does it relate to any other intelligence that they've already gathered? So those are the kinds of questions that they have to think about when deciding whether or not to release this stuff. It's not just a, well, I guess it, you know, it's not like a current affair or America's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
Post the photo and
The only thing we know for sure is obviously the Kenneth Feinberg, the attorney who oversaw compensation funds for the victims of 9/11, was named to administer a fund for those affected by the Boston bombing. So one thing we do know for sure is Ann Coulter will have something to say about the victims, something bad to say about the victims.
Oh, it's only a matter of time.
Any time now. About being moochers and, living off the government. Yeah. On cue. All right. anyway, and then the other thing I was surprised at, you tweeted about blood donations needed still, and you said as a gay man I'm forbidden from donating.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
It's one of the holdovers from the 80s.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
the FDA doesn't allow gay men to donate blood.
But I mean, if you're HIV negative, they don't.
Yeah, don't allow you.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Yeah.
I think the rule is if you've had a gay encounter in the last 10 years, you're not allowed.
Who hasn't?
Oh, it's more than.
Oh, it's more than that.
You, Jim.
Like 1979 is something like that.
Oh,
if you've had
a gay encounter since 1979, you're not allowed to get blood. Yeah.
Right.
So for most young gay guys these days, that's like so before I was born.
Yeah.
I knew I was gay in the womb, so, sorry.
It's been so long for me, I wouldn't really be able to remember. I would sit there a long time. Let me see. I don't know. I don't remember my last one. Okay.
Working on this show for 8 years has been kind of like a gay encounter.
Screw you, Jim. All right, I love you, Jim. Fritch.
Have a good one.
See you next week. Does that count?
Wow.
Does it count as a reach around? Okay.
At least a reach around.
18 minutes after the hour. You're just trying to get out of giving blood. Okay. Okay, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Pull over. You're DWL. Driving while laughing. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This just in, newswoman Jackie Schechner on the plane to New York City. She will be back with us on Monday.
Yeah.
All right. See, I get all my... By the way... So, you know, we've been talking a lot about, obviously, CNN getting the bombing suspect thing wrong, and then Fox News, which was a painful reminder of when they all got it wrong on the Supreme Court overturning affordable care. You know who got that right?
Who?
Jackie Schechner.
That's right.
She was the only one.
Newswoman extraordinaire.
That's right. Right here on the Stephanie Miller Show. She got, because remember, there was all that confusion, and everybody was reporting that it had been struck down, and Jackie's like, wait a minute. They take it.
And she was in this particular hizzy when
that's
it happened.
Right. Right up in here.
Yeah.
Up in here. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Lanny Davis on the big show today.
Yes. Lanny.
What did I say?
Lenny.
Lanny Davis.
Lanny Bruce.
I was burping. former, Clinton political strategist has a new book out. And
I'm dealing with crises. And we've had many crises lately in America. So.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... Are dogs and cats currently living together? What is happening? There's a lot of news, and we don't know what's connected to what yet. Between the Ryson and the Boston explosion, and the fire in Texas, explosion in Texas yesterday.
Maybe we can ask him how CNN handled that crisis.
I wonder if they called Lenny Davis. He just has a hotline right in his pants. Okay. By the by, we were talking... we have the smartest kids in class, as you know.
We do.
Right. We were talking about this florist issue. There's a florist that's being sued in Washington State because she refused to do flowers for a gay wedding, which is against the law in Washington.
Sure.
And some points we missed. Rick in Canada says, Steph, what if there were gay florists and they refused to serve straight Christians? Good point. Very good. Can do it. No can do. Steve says, Steph, not sure I understand the logic behind having an issue with the government forcing a flower shop to sell to a gay couple. Really? How is that different from forcing a flower shop to sell to Jews or blacks or any minority? This sounds too much like Rand Paul's notions on civil rights. If you're a business, any business, you're taking advantage of government services, i.e. roads, police, fire, water safety, etc. Therefore, you are absolutely not allowed to discriminate.
Well, Christians don't think it's discrimination because they believe that being homosexual is a choice.
Well, I don't care what they believe.
Well, I'm just telling you. I'm just giving you the devil's advocate.
The attorney general has to do it because it's the law in Washington.
You bastard.
I'm just trying to give you the Christian
perspective. How dare you point out what other people
think. My religion says it's oogie.
Well, no, they believe that it's a choice and not something you're born with. And so they believe that...
not all Christians. But.
Well, no, right. But, you know, being black is not a choice.
The law does not care what you think.
I know. But they believe that being black is not a choice, but being gay is. That is the difference in their...
I don't want to eat pasta with people that worship the flying spaghetti monster.
That's the difference in their head.
All right.
Okay.
Mitch in Wisconsin. You see what I did there? Mitch in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mitch.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Great. See, I followed the vote yesterday on the gun legislation that went down, and I have an idea. What somebody should do is start a responsible organization of gun owners. I mean, there's a lot of people that believe, you know, there should be gun regulations, such as, you know, limiting the clip size and ammo rifles and background checks. So they should start an organization and call it ARGO, Association of Responsible Gun Owners.
Mm.
Okay, and then what they can do with
and
the
Ben
NRA...
And Ben Affleck can be in charge.
Exactly,
right.
There you go.
Right.
And then what they can do with the NRA is they can change that... to some acronym, whatever it is, but it would be called Organization Bought and Paid For by Gun Manufacturers.
Yeah. You know, we haven't even gotten into this, Mitch. There's so much news going on. But I and pretty much everyone I talked to yesterday am livid. It's hard to even, you know, you saw the president had sort of barely contained... in fact, do we have time? Let's listen to the president from yesterday.
All in all, this was a pretty shameful day for Washington. But this effort is not over. I want to make it clear to the American people. We can still bring about meaningful changes that reduce gun violence so long as the American people don't give up on it.
Yeah, that is the key. We'll see if we can get our friend Hot Bree. She called every Senate office yesterday, and that's what that's what we should do. I mean, what a sad picture. The president's standing there with the Newtown parents and Gabby Giffords.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the looks on their faces said it all. I mean, it is just, it's disgusting. It's shameful. It's really unbelievable. I mean, 92% of the American people want background checks.
Mm-hmm. Who cares what they think?
And this was a watered-down version of even background
mm-hmm.
checks.
Yeah.
Forget assault weapons or clips or any of it. I mean, it's just, don't get me started. See, now you've gotten me started.
Got you started.
I was going to say don't get me started. Now it's too late. Now we can't have nice things for the rest of the show. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Listen to me. I sound like Cagney and Lacey, but without the slutty clothes.
Hobby, 34 minutes after the hour. My husband, Hob.
Slutty clothes.
Such a tart that time, David. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Rocky in Jersey. Hey, Rocky.
Hey, guys. How you doing, Mom?
Good, good. Go ahead.
Listen, I'm so disgusted with the Senate right now. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't think they have an ounce of compassion or any substance for this kind of country at all. When they would vote down such minor legislation as gun checks or as background checks. I don't know where do you then negotiate from here? We gave them the weakest that we could possibly give them, and they wouldn't even take it. And the 16 Democrats that voted, I am very, very disappointed, and I'm emailing all of them today.
Yeah, I'll say. I mean, it's beyond, I mean, it's just walk of shame. They ought to do the walk of shame. We are disappointed.
And Fox News is just gloating. They are absolutely gloating. They're so happy about this, that this defense of the Second Amendment, which I can't understand. And I've taught constitutional law firm for 39 years, and I still don't understand how they are defining this Second Amendment. Where did they forget the word regulated in there?
Yeah. I said to somebody yesterday, Rocky, I said, in any other country, you go against what over 90% of the people want, you have a coup. You know, and this better be a tipping point, because I've never seen so many people so angry.
Well, in parliamentary democracy, you get
I'm one of the angry ones.
Yep, absolutely.
You get
Rocky.
A vote of no confidence.
Yeah, yeah. It's beyond, you know, disappointed. It's, a little whatever.
Disappointed!
Okay, I think even the president said it, that, you know, what else can you do except show it at the ballot box at this point? It's just stunning.
I think this should be the end of the 50-state strategy, because we need some real Democrats.
Yeah, and the president on the gun lobby.
The gun lobby and its allies willfully lied about the bill.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was the thing that got me the most, is how happy Wayne LaPierre must have been yesterday. Ugh. Ugh. Despite emotional pleas from the families of victims of the shootings in Newtown and broad public support, the bill failed 54-46. It's six short of the 60 votes it needed. Visibly angry Obama. You talked about it. We already played that clip. It being a shameful day for Washington. He said, "I see this as round one. Sooner or later, we're going to get it right. The memories of these children demand it." And I hope so. One of the Newtown dads said, "Our hearts are broken. Our spirit is not." He vowed his group of Sandy Hook victims' family members would continue to seek common sense solutions to gun violence. Didn't you watch any of this when the vote totals were announced by Joe Biden? Spectator shouted shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
Minutes later, Dianne Feinstein implored her colleagues to show some guts and support gun legislation.
Yeah.
Of course, the assault weapons ban drew support from just 40 members. The proposal to limit the size of ammunition magazines drew only 46 votes. Four Democrats who will face re-election in conservative gun-friendly states voted against it, and they walked the Hall of Shame this morning. Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, Mark Bagich of Alaska, Mark Pryor of Arkansas, and Max Baucus of Montana, who is useless, in my opinion. He also started bitching about the health care law yesterday, which he helped write, because he's up for re-election and it's not popular. So it's really... And we have to give a yay to four Republicans who backed it. Susan Pat Toomey, of course, Susan Collins of Maine, John McCain of Arizona, and Mark Kirk of Illinois. So you got it.
Kind of surprising that John McCain did. I don't know.
He'll surprise you.
He always surprises.
He really does. He's a little erratic, but on this one we have to say.
Especially coming from Arizona, which is such a gun nut state.
Yeah. Supporters promised political payback for the foes of the amendment. Gifford said in a joint statement with her husband that the Senate ignored the will of the American people. She said, "We will use every means possible to make sure the constituents of these senators know that their elected representative ignored them and put Washington, D.C.'s special interest politics over the effort to keep their own community safe from the tragedy of gun violence." The Manchin-Toomey background check amendment allowed exemptions for private sales or gifts between family and friends and prohibited the creation of a national registry of guns. But as the president said, the NRA, and I'm glad he said it, he said the word lie. They just flat out lied.
Yeah.
The NRA warned members the proposal would require checks for sales and gifts between family and friends and lead to a national registry, things that were specifically prevented in the bill. The NRA's assertions are a lie, that is simply a lie. And anybody who can read knows that it is not factual, said Joe Manchin, who is, you know, has an A-plus rating from the NRA and was behind this. It's disgusting. The further down you read in stories, an underlying bill on the Senate floor, which would tighten restrictions on gun trafficking and bolster school security, will also probably have a hard time getting 60 votes. The Senate also rejected several Republican-sponsored amendments backed by the NRA that would have expanded gun rights. Thank God at least for that. Really? So that was the solution. Just... let's make it looser. Let's make gun restrictions looser. But the influence of the gun culture, gun lobby, was clear when an NRA-backed plan to allow gun owners with permits to carry concealed weapons across state lines failed to reach the 60-vote threshold, but earned more votes, 57, than the background check amendment. So what are we going to do about Newtown? Nothing, as it turns out.
Well,
nothing.
We'll get something done.
Not right now.
No.
I mean, literally, that's the response. It's nothing.
Yeah, the president is going to keep fighting.
Yeah. And so am I.
Yeah.
Harry in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Harry.
Hey, Steph, you remember me? From a long time ago, you said I sound like Farrakhan.
You sound like who?
Farrakhan. Remember you said, oh, you sound like Farrakhan.
I don't remember that. I think that's incorrect.
Okay. Well, anyway, what I wanted to say is that, Stephanie, you know, I understand you guys are trying to do something as far as just gun control is concerned. But, you know, you guys are talking about the shooting that just went on, the bombing just went on. What about the thousands and thousands of kids, black kids, that die in America, man, every year? Sure. Why don't you guys talk about that?
I do.
By gun violence.
We do.
I do.
I want to hear just like what you guys are talking about, this bombing and the Sandy Hook thing every day. And this happens.
It's kind
every
of a big story.
Year.
A bomb goes off at the Boston Marathon, isn't it?
I know, but 30,000 blacks in America dying every year, that's not a big story?
Well, we do talk about it.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about the girl in Chicago that was...
I got to give it to you. I listen to you every morning. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I don't hear it every morning. I listen. I just hear Sandy Ridge. I hear them talking about these new laws. Man, forget the laws. Do what you got to do, government.
Harry,
the government needs to do what they got to do.
When 26 people get killed by one person inside a school, that's huge news, and we have to talk about it.
I mean, Harry, honestly, do you think that the media would have ignored it if they were black kids? I don't. I think if 20 kids got blown away in their first grade class, I think that it would have been pretty equally media coverage. I agree with you that, you know, in general...
But in general, man, this is 30. Look, I'm from that generation. I had got caught up in the streets when I was a kid.
Yeah.
All the drugs in our neighborhood, that didn't fall there by accident. And then all these, 30,000 kids a year. I understand 26 kids. I feel bad for the parents. If I would have been one of the parents, I would have been ready to go find that guy and do what I had to do. But the fact of the matter is, it's still 35,000 black youth in America, man. That is appalling.
Listen, it's all part of it, and that's why, you know, doing something about all of these bills would have helped. I mean, and these bills wouldn't have helped just white people. They would have helped black people not get killed by gun violence, too. I mean, it's all part of the problem.
We need to tell Barack Obama and all of them, to hell with the bills. Do what you got to do.
What does that mean? What can the president do? That's not the way America is set up.
The president's not a king.
Yeah.
I know, but now it sure is funny. You can run over there to Iraq and slaughter people in Iraq and get the government straight, but you can't even come to the streets.
Obama didn't do that.
30,000 deaths.
Right. We couldn't have been more vocally against Iraq.
To stop gun violence in Chicago is to stop guns coming in from across the border.
Right, and we talk about that every single day.
No, and I do agree with his general premise. You can't say that there isn't that kind of bias in the media, but, we certainly talk about, you know, stories as much as we can. There's a lot of news every day in America. I agree with him that I think around the world there is more coverage when it's white people. It is. I mean, look at, you know, when we talk about what happened in Rwanda or elsewhere. I mean,
Or when a lot of kids at once get killed.
Well, of course. Yeah,
that's newsworthy.
Anthony, and that's almost what's sad, is that he's right, that doesn't get covered because there's so much gun violence.
Exactly. It's a daily occurrence.
It's like, okay. Yeah. I mean, literally, how many times have you felt yourself looking at a story going, oh, only whatever killed? Not even, like, consciously, but going, oh, that's awful that I just thought because it is daily occurrence. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Anthony in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
The only way they can really eradicate this problem, because the IRA and all the Republicans keep talking about gang violence and the drug gangs. And unless you have a national registry to follow the guns, they will always get guns. Always. Because if you can't follow the guns...
Anthony, I just heard Rudy Giuliani saying this on TV yesterday, that this is ridiculous. Yes, we should register guns. We register cars.
Right.
This would help the police immeasurably find criminals.
And it has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment, just like they said, a regulated militia. Regulated, which means regulation.
Yes, regulation, right in the
amendment.
Right.
Okay, can I say one more thing? Because I have to respond to the guy, because I grew up in Washington, D.C., but Washington was the murder capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what he's saying about 30,000 kids a year, but the problem with that, that's a community issue. That's a local community issue. If the community don't want to get involved, there's nothing the president or the government can do about that.
Yeah.
That's a local community issue, and communities have to get involved and stop that.
Yeah.
And one of it is,
well, as Jim just said, I mean, the president's not a king. It's like, what do you mean, do what he's got to do? He just tried to do what he was trying to do about gun violence, and this is what this is the help he got. Same as it ever was. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Art in Chicago. Long time. Hi, Art.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, sir.
I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
And I am for gun control. I am for everything that you're looking for. But what I want to say is, let's enforce them. Let's enforce them.
Yeah, well,
them.
Let's get someone in charge of the ATF instead of listening to Wayne LaPierre. I said, let's get somebody in charge at the ATF and not let the NRA block that.
No. We got plenty of laws. What law I would like to see is anybody caught with an illegal weapon or used an illegal weapon, they get 10 years in prison, period. No, nothing.
Yeah, the NRA has been so helpful in that regard, haven't they?
Yes, they want
Yes, they have.
There are 1,000 cases in Chicago pending on the books. Four were prosecuted of illegal weapons. Now, you notice the murder capital right here in Chicago. They catch them, talk to the police, they're out. The kid that killed that girl that went to Obama's inauguration, he was out on bail. 6 months he was out on bail. He had an illegal weapon, and he fired it. Now, he was out on bail. Why isn't he in prison? Why wasn't he in prison?
So are you,
this
you
is
don't
the
think
problem.
We don't need
we got to get them judges
right. So everything's
to
perfect.
Prosecute them.
Right. Everything's perfect. Everything's perfect on guns. Everything's completely
well,
perfect.
I mean, no,
yeah. Why do anything? Why do anything? That's
released,
it.
Though,
that's
maybe.
The problem. Yeah.
But we also need federal laws so that it's consistent. So you can't import guns across the border from Indiana into Chicago.
Jim, don't make the noise because she's mad. Melissa Fitzgerald, our good friend of the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you for not making noise. Thank you.
I'm free on what's stepping. She's filled with squeeziness. Looking sexy. I'm free on what's stepping.
Taking a break from her Senate calls.
Yeah.
having opened a large can of whoop-ass yesterday. I would give anything to have that voicemail from Sexby Chambliss's office.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Well, I actually was civilized considering I had smoke coming out of my ears. I was so angry. But he, poor guy, he was really one of the only ones I was able to get through to. So what I said was...
So he took the brunt of what you were going to say to Mark Begich.
Exactly.
And he's hiding in his closet now.
He took the
I'm
brunt.
I'm not answering the phone.
If I got Heidi Heitkamp too, you... Yeah. It was...
If I'd gotten Kelly Ayaga, she would have been in trouble too. No, I said I was deeply disappointed. I said, sadly not surprised, but deeply disappointed, and which I am. I am, and I'm not surprised that he didn't vote for it. I'm not at all surprised. I mean, I look, but I also said, is this how you want to end your career?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
he's leaving, and is this the legacy that you want to leave?
Well, I mean, the president said it yesterday. You and I talked about it on the phone. How do you go against 90-something percent of the of any country's people's will
Because you've got no courage and you're not actually representing the people. That's how. And that makes me sick. And if you're not representing me, you're fired. Fired. Fired.
You're fired.
Fired. Fired. And, yes, it's time for me to put on my wig.
But
don't get all Donald Trump on our ass.
But have we seen the polls in Georgia? Is he representing the people of Georgia?
Well, I don't know, actually. That's a good question. But I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so, because if it's 90%, it's impossible that he is. And listen, he's also a senator.
Did
he's
you
not
Did you happen to
only
see...
Only represent.
Yeah, did you happen to
I'm
see...
I'm going to look that up, though.
All right. All right, geek. All right, nerd. Listen, did you happen to see Mitch McConnell's Facebook page? You know,
no.
Somebody, this was on the internet, and he puts this on his own Facebook page. It just, it's, yeah. You know, Harry Reid saying, his fingers are this far apart. He said, can I have this much gun control? And McConnell saying, no. How about this much? No. You know, I mean, it's just like he's bragging about,
yeah.
Oh, look how tough I am. I beat up Ashley Judd and I stopped gun control, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how tough you are when you're getting paid to do it. That kind of seems really wimpy to me.
Yeah.
When you're getting money from the NRA or you're getting, oh, we're not going to run somebody to the right of you in your primary. You know, we're not going to back somebody else. That's just kind of wimpy.
What do we do, though, Melissa, about these, you know, these conservative...
I think we call them. And I think I got something from the Courage campaign yesterday that was going to be sent to the DNC and I think also the, you know, the DCCC saying, well, to the DNC for sure, saying... We're not going to give a dime to the DNC if you give a dime to any Democrat who voted against this gun legislation, period.
But
we will not give you a dime.
Right.
And I think that's a big thing, and I think if everybody says things like that, and we call them, pick up the phone and call them. I was heartened by the fact that I couldn't get through yesterday. Most of them. Because that's good. Other people are calling and yelling at them, too.
And that made you even madder. And Saxby Chambliss even more. Saxby Chambliss became your husband in that moment. I'm going to take everything out on you because you're the only person here. That I can...
Don't think I'm done. I still have all these numbers right in my phone.
You were so angry you achieved escape velocity on your stripper pole. You're in orbit right now.
I was actually in the car with two friends driving up to San Francisco where we are. I'm like, do you guys mind if I call up and yell at some people?
Listen, exactly, road trip. There's nothing but like a mad Democrat with time on her hands with speed dial.
It's true.
I'm not done. Yeah,
and another thing. You ran a nasty campaign against Max Cleland, and you should be punished for that, too.
And what's more, you're a cad.
But, you know, we were, you just sounded like Mr. Spacely. You're fired! Get some! We've been talking about all morning, though, is what do we do about these conservatives? I mean, it's just, Max Baucus has...
Yeah.
He's having a useful purpose, in my opinion. He was bad-mouthing the Affordable Care Act yesterday, which he helped write and voted against. I mean, it's just, I don't even know what to say.
Is he up for re-election? I got to look that up, too.
Yes, I believe he is.
Well, that's what we do. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's what we do. And we call. And everybody, you know, not only from Montana, but I think everybody from all over, flood his office. Well, and you know what's really kind of a good way to do it is if you can't get through to the Washington, D.C. main office, they've got, you know, offices all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
So go call the regional offices. Call them every day and tell them you're pissed and this is not okay and you're not representing us and you're not doing good for the country and you're going to be fired.
That's,
and we're going to work really hard against you and actually do it. That's what we have to do.
Yeah.
You, sir, are a cad and a heel.
Exactly.
I'm sorry I had to hear you.
You
such strong language.
You get nothing, sir. Here's the president.
All in all, this was a pretty shameful day for Washington. But this effort is not over. I want to make it clear to the American people. We can still bring about meaningful changes that reduce gun violence so long as the American people don't give up on
it. I just want to say one more thing. Do not piss off Melissa Fitzgerald.
That's right.
We didn't take that part, but that's what he said. He said, but he's right. He's saying the same thing you are, that this is not over. And there he is standing with Gabby Giffords and the Newtown parents, and this is not over. We have only just begun to fight, ladies and gentlemen.
Hold them accountable. Let's hold them accountable for what they've done and what they stand for and what they're choosing. Because we are armed with something I think is far more powerful than what they're trying to arm
us
with.
It's a pissed off hot brie. All right, we're out of time. Talk to you soon, honey. All right. Love you. Bye. Stephanie Miller. Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wow, we news breaking left and right, and it's staying broken. All right.
Yeah. Lots of crises.
Yikes, right? Oh, nice segue. Nice assist. Thank you very much.
You know.
Thank you. Let me just spike it in now. Hey, look who has a book called Crisis Tales, Five Rules for Coping with Crisis in Business, Politics, and Life. Lanny Davis, veteran political strategist, joins us now. Good morning, Lanny.
Good morning, Stephanie. I'm a great fan of yours, so thanks for inviting me on.
Aw. Well, right back at you. What better day to be? What better day to be talking to you? I mean, it is a crisis a day here. Now, did CNN call you yesterday?
Well, I'm out in California. Sort of, I had a great and really inspiring evening, believe it or not, at the Nixon Library last night, where I gave a speech, took a tour, and was reminded of. Besides all the tragedy of the Nixon years that occurred, the greatness of the man and some of the history of the man, and of course, the ultimate crisis management challenge would have been being in the Nixon White House during the time of Watergate.
Yeah, yeah, I'll say. Well, I mean, Lanny, you've obviously, in addition to Bill Clinton, you've served as a legal crisis manager for everyone from Martha Stewart, Whole Foods, Trent Lott, Charlie Rangel. You're the guy people call when things go wrong. Have you always just had a calm demeanor, or what gives you these mad skills?
You know, I wish one day, Stephanie, you'd pick up the phone and call me, and I answer, and you say, "Hey, Lanny, I have great news." That would be the first time in 12 years.
I love this. I love the one story that Martha Stewart called you at midnight and said, "Is this Lanny Davis? I need your help getting the truth out of the media." My lawyers are telling me I can't. Will you help?
Wow.
And I'm guessing, you know, a caterer or a housekeeper or two has gotten that call from Martha at midnight, and that is probably not pretty.
Did Charlie Rangel call you to complain about that mimic on the Stephanie Miller Show?
Well, first of all, it's in the middle of the night when I'm sure Martha wouldn't mind my saying that she dropped the F-bomb. but it was the ing version of it, which I think is the better version. And it was loud enough so that my wife heard in the late wee hours of the morning the F-bomb from a female voice over the telephone.
Sounds
so that
better.
Was a good that woke us both up.
Lanny, we've been talking all morning about the in my opinion this disgraceful gun vote yesterday in the Senate, and it was interesting. The NRA was described as being in crisis, right, after Newtown? I mean, they were in a panic, and I hate to say it because it's so antithetical to everything I believe, but it seems like they've won this round, right?
Well, they've won in their narrow way. Their own membership supports background checks. When you get to 80% of any poll, you can't find the 20%. And this is an organization that stands against democracy, even the majority of Republicans. Support background checks. So what I would like to start happening in the media, maybe this is the program, I want out in large font headlines every name of people who voted not to allow a vote. Remember, it's not just being against 80% of public opinion on background checks. It's not allowing a vote on background checks. Where are the headlines? Can we name right now the six Democrats that didn't vote for cloture or six Republicans? Can we list them in a headline and embarrass them in their home states and then have them answer, why are you opposing 80% of your voters? Do you believe in democracy? Now, I don't know who I'm talking about. I may be talking about a good friend who's a Democratic U.S. senator worried about reelection. My question is, you should not be worried about reelection. This is too fundamental to go against not only democracy, but denying a vote on the floor of the Senate literally has no justification.
Yeah. Yeah, it literally does. The president's press secretary yesterday, Jay Carney.
The Newtown families aren't here for the president. They're here because their children were murdered. They're here asking for the Senate to do something that's common sense.
I mean, Lanny, I can't imagine a sadder day for America than there's the president with all of these parents whose six-year-olds were blown away at point-blank range by assault weapons, and a United States congresswoman who was shot in the face. And we can't even get enough Democrats to vote for the most watered-down element of any kind of gun legislation, just a background check. I mean, where are we politically in America, and where do we go from here?
You may hear from my tone, though, I'm a little bit hoarse. This is a different reaction than I normally have, where I try to see the world through other people's eyes. I write a column, Purple Nation, where I try to look at things both ways. I'm, you know, somewhat astonished that people thank me who are conservatives for being at least a reasonable liberal. But I see no nuance on the question to of Democrats. How could you not allow a vote on this? And I want those names, and they may be friends of mine. I'm hoping they're not, but I have a lot of friends. I'm old enough to have grown up with a lot of people who are now in the Senate and the House. I want those names on the front page of every newspaper, and I want President Obama with those names on a billboard at the press conference. The time has come for the president to have a sister soldier moment and stand up to his own party, as well as, of course, to a majority of Republicans who are in the tank for the NRA. I'm not in any way excusing Republicans. But the immorality of not allowing a vote, put aside that they don't have a very good reason on background checks, but they can at least try to do the merits on this, but not allowing a vote. We need to out these people who are preventing democracy from occurring on the floor of the Senate.
I agree. Lanny, interesting, you know, your book, Crisis Tales. I mean, it's like a crisis a day. I mean, I don't know what's going on between Boston and the Ryson attacks and in Texas, which we don't know, you know, if that's anything other than an industrial accident right now. But obviously, I sort of made a joke about CNN, but they weren't the only ones. They were just first. How do you advise, you know, let's just say people in situations like that where they tried to get out there, they said a Boston suspect had been arrested, they were wrong, they said he had dark skin. I mean, obviously neither of those things was true because nobody was arrested. So, you know, it seems like it almost is like in reporting crises, people get into crisis mode, right?
Yes, but there is a rule about getting the facts out, but not getting them out too quickly because you'll end up being wrong. And then what happened in Benghazi is there was good faith mistakes made by the intelligence community. And then Ambassador Rice repeated those mistakes. And then she was accused of lying by a partisan, disgusting attack by Republicans. So here we have misinformation put out that honestly was reported much too fast, I think irresponsibly too fast, because in the cable era, getting out there first is more important than getting it right.
Mm-hmm. And, Lenny,
and so a lot of damage is done to responsible journalists when these kinds of mistakes are made, but they're honest mistakes, and we need to calm down and get the facts first before we report them.
Yeah. Lanny, you know, and we had, like, echoes of Benghazi, we thought, when, you know, in the hot minutes right after the Boston bombing, when there literally is still blood on the streets, we had Bill O'Reilly and other people screaming the president didn't use the word terror, like, right away, before we knew. I mean, we're arguing about semantics while there's still people being tourniqueted because they've lost limbs. I mean, it really is, you know, where are we in this sort of 24/7 news cycle?
Look, I agree that the argument on the word terrorist and terrorism is semantics and silly. Mm-hmm. But I have to say I've never understood why President Obama didn't want to use it. There was a policy decision to differentiate this administration, the administration I supported and voted for, from the Bush administration. Fine, that's what happened. But why the word terrorism being removed from the vocabulary, the war on terror? Whatever the word terror means, it's like the definition of obscenity a long time ago by Justice Potter Stewart. We don't care about the word. We know it when we see it, which is mindless.
Right.
Murder of innocent people.
Well, so, and the White House said that the same
why
day.
Why we're worried about that word, I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, but the White House said it, Lanny, the same day. They said clearly this was an act of terror.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And the reason why the political right, and I think O'Reilly's, you know, somewhere in the middle on most things, but the reason why the political right jumps to, I think, much too quick on why didn't he use that word, is because there is some basis that early on, there was a reluctance in the White House to talk about the war on terror. You explain to me why there was that reluctance. Somebody there said, no, that's what George Bush said. I have no idea. But you're right. Let's focus on this horrible murder that has occurred. And was it terrorism in Newtown? Is that the way we define terrorism? I define it as mindless murder of innocent people, period.
Well, yeah. to the right wing, terrorist is synonymous with Islam.
Right.
So if it's a white guy doing it, it's something else, apparently.
Well, you know, I think both sides characterize each other. And that gets me to sort of what I try to do is avoid characterization. In my crisis management practice and in the book Crisis Tales, I speak about the need to get facts out. But I charge $10 for every adjective that anyone in my shop uses before any fact. So a lot of our problems in America are people using labels and name-calling as a substitute for facts.
Yeah, well, those people are jerks.
name-calling idiots.
Talk about name-calling.
What a bunch of morons.
Exactly. Crisis Tales, 5 Rules for Coping with Crisis in Business, Politics, and Life. Lanny Davis, a pleasure, sir. No, so nice to have you on. We'll see you. Come back anytime.
Again, Stephanie. I am a great fan, and keep at it.
You have exquisite taste, sir. Thank you. All right, Lanny.
And before I get any calls, yes, I'm quite aware there are white people who are also Muslim.
Right.
Yes. Bosnians,
okay.
For example.
Thank you. Hold your calls. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. Abby in San Francisco. Hi, Abby.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. So, Jim, I was hoping maybe you could talk me off the ledge this morning, or maybe you're already on the ledge.
You're depending on Jim to do that?
Oh,
he usually talks people
Jim,
onto the ledge.
Go ahead and jump. It's really,
Jim, yeah. Why is it that the media reports a 54-46 vote, just blithely reports it as a defeat? This drives me crazy. 54-46 is not a defeat.
Right.
This whole supermajority thing that it's automatic, 60 votes are needed for everything. I just think that the media needs to report that
right.
This whole thing has been perverted. Mm. Yeah?
Yeah.
It's I don't know how this keeps happening. I really don't.
I mean, yeah. didn't Medicare pass by like 50 something votes?
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, that's how divided we are. But, you know, Lanny Davis is right, Abby. I mean, the Democrats in particular ought to, you know, know Morning Joe did it this morning, just put everybody's pictures up that voted against this.
Yeah. We can't put pictures up because we're radio.
We're technically radio, even though I am on TV here in Captain America's underpants.
Yeah.
I could hold pictures up.
Imaginary pictures. Of.
But we don't want to leave out our radio fans.
No.
They can't see it.
But yeah.
And my friend Bobby would like to remind us that you can't spell senator without N-R-A.
Mm. Uh-huh. Hardest point
right.
This morning.
Sort of.
Senator Joe Manchin, who tried.
Believe me, I understand the political stakes for my colleagues, and I sympathize. I've been there. I understand it.
Whatever. Senator Chuck Grassley. Who's,
you can't spell Grassley without ass.
Without ass. I was. Right. We almost collided.
Wow.
We hip-checked each other into the boards getting to that joke. And you know what? Since I wanted to win the Lady Bing Award, I stepped back at the last moment and let him have it.
The what? The who?
It's the what? It's the. I think I'm getting that right. It's the hockey award for the nicest player, which is
the Lady Bing Award?
Somebody call some hockey fan call me and tell me I'm right.
I thought you were talking LPGA or something.
No! It's a hockey award.
Okay. I never knew Bing Crosby had a sex change. Well, that's news to me.
The Lady Bing Award.
Senator Chuck Grassley.
Manchin Toomey would not have stopped Newtown.
Oh, shut up.
People who steal guns do not submit to background checks.
Okay, so as Jim says often, we can't do anything then?
Right.
Because that wouldn't have stopped that specific tragedy. It would have stopped Virginia Tech. Really? So we can't do anything.
People will drive fast, so there's no need for speed limits.
Thank you. Thank you. Well-known Southern Belle, Lindsey Graham.
So we're trying to take it to the violent criminal, rather than taking it to the innocent Second Amendment law-abiding citizen.
Oh, my stars and garters.
Oh, my. Those poor, innocent gun owners.
of only our best interests at
heart. Yet another thing that gives Lindsey Graham the vapors. The erosion of our Second Amendment rights.
God.
Yeah. Which is, it's so difficult to get a gun, isn't it, in America? Okay, Senator Richard Shelby, Republican, Alabama.
This is the first step in the erosion of our rights under the Second Amendment.
Right, yes.
Try getting a gun in Germany. See how you do.
Yeah. Come back and report to us.
You were one step away from Hitler.
No.
No? Okay.
No, I'm talking about now.
All right.
Warren in Gary, Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Or not, because you put yourself on hold. Okay, now it's you, Mr. Jeff. Okay.
You turned into Jiminy Glick. So.
Okay, Jill in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jill.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Handsome friends. Good morning.
My handsome, handsome friends.
Your handsome friends. It's time for us to not take this anymore and go to Washington directly during the week, not on the weekend.
Hey, we should change our theme song back to We're Not Going to Take It Anymore. We hate everyone now, Jill.
And, yes, and the people that can't get to Washington can get to their state capitals. In the meantime, we have to call, we have to email, we have to write. And I do have a number. I don't know if I can give it out.
Sure.
But, okay, it's called the Capitol, and it is 202. Did I write it down? Oh, I'm sorry. I dropped this paper. Anyway, I'll get it to you another time.
Oh, you can Google it.
A 202.
It's easy to find.
Yeah, you can Google it.
Right. And, all right.
Yeah. All sorry
right.
about that.
All right. That's okay. No worries. Herb in New York on the Texas explosion. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Herb.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm from your old neck of the woods.
up the transit from Lackport?
Well, I'm down the river a bit. I'm in the Finger Lakes area.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Anyways, I was interested in the Texas fertilizer disaster. Rick Perry, during his campaign for president, strongly urged that we get rid of some government agencies, including the EPA and OSHA.
Oh, that was one of the ones he forgot. Yeah. The things that might have helped this sort of thing. Yeah. This is the mayor yesterday.
What I do know is at approximately 6:30, there was a fire at the West Fertilizer Plant on Jerry Moshe Drive, north of the city of West. Approximately 7 o'clock, that plant exploded.
Okay.
The explosion propelled in a northwest direction. It damaged approximately 5 block area around that fertilizer plant. The fertilizer plant was fully engulfed, and that in turn caught the intermediate school on fire. A number of houses in that area are completely destroyed or damaged.
And the caller made a good point that it was one of the, as Rick Perry would say, oops, that's one of the agencies that would have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the mayor is also a volunteer firefighter, so he was there fighting the fire when it exploded. He was caught in the middle of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Scary.
Much more on that as we continue 29 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sometimes I think
Stephanie Miller
is the one thing that can save the world.
Yes, yes,
well,
clearly.
You're high then.
Yes. What? 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We've been talking about the Boston bombing suspect. So, not sure where we're at with that. They obviously have footage. It's from Lord & Taylor, the department store. It's surveillance footage. It has not been made public. The president is going to be going there today for a memorial service to Boston. Department store video has confirmed that a suspect is seen dropping a bag near the point of the second explosion and heading off. Separately, law enforcement official said, he obviously couldn't. He spoke on the condition of anonymity, confirmed that investigators only had an image of a potential suspect whose name was not known to them and who had not been questioned. So, obviously, a lot of incorrect reports yesterday.
There were.
Talking to you, Wolf. Okay. Wolf Blitzer actually asked John King whether the surveillance camera footage reveals anything about the man's accent. What now?
Oh, Wolf.
What?
What?
So poor. So black.
So hungry.
So foreign.
So black. Okay, that was the Hurricane Katrina one. We just still can't get it out of our...
Wow.
He actually said that while filling time during Hurricane Katrina.
Well, I mean...
Look at these people! Oh!
Weren't we talking with Jackie Schechner earlier this week about the crap that can come out of your mouth when you're stretching?
Yes. It's the most dangerous thing in the world, a producer doing stretch signs. What did I say now? I think I had one of those moments. I won't reveal it.
Okay, no, you cannot drop that and run. You can't.
I was live on the other station, the big station over there.
Yeah.
Where I used to, But, you know, before Progressive Radio, it was during the OJ thing.
Right, right.
And we were all doing team coverage during the slow speed chase, right, the Bronco. And that was a lot of time to kill.
Yeah.
They were going really slow.
Well, that's very visual, too. And when you're on radio, you have a lot of crap to say.
Let me give you the history of the Bronco.
The Bronco is a car manufactured
by Ford. Ford Motor Company. Okay, what did you say?
All I remember is that woman testifying and kept saying, Blanco, Bronco! Blanco, it was Blanco, Bronco!
It's a Bronco, Blanco. A white Bronco.
Right, it was white Bronco. I think I said, do you think we'd be able to hear it if he shot himself? I don't know, it was something like that. I was not sure what to say. Because, you know, he had a gun and they weren't sure what was happening. All right. Bless my heart. I feel your pain, Wolf.
Maybe you could get OJ to send you a message in a bottle.
Do not mix what I said to Kevin Costner or red carpet. Red carpet coverage is also inane and ridiculous by its nature. And you have 2 seconds to yell something at some random celebrity.
Kevin Costner, will you send me a message in a bottle?
God. Shut up!
The Bronco, so white. The driver, so black.
So rich, so black.
So in trouble.
Okay, Sean in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
You know what? Let me get Lanny straight here. I'm in Pennsylvania.
Lanny Davis.
I've been here 50 years. They do cling to guns. Hillary and all of you went after President Obama for the truth.
Wait, what?
Hmm?
Remember, cling to guns? Hillary and Lanny and everybody went after, all these Democrats went after President Obama for the truth.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Lanny could sit there and talk all the crap he wants, but see, I'm not one to take his stuff.
That was it. You know what? I just as soon forget that primary. That was very traumatic for all of us. Okay. let's move on. Hillary 2016. Yay! But, yeah, that's true. Okay, Chris in Illinois wants to talk to all of us gun grabbers. Hello, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, sir. Go ahead.
Well, I'm leaning left since I got my satellite radio, which is what I listen to you on.
Thank you.
And the problem with background checks like you promote is the guy before you, Alex Bennett, has came out and says the real goal is to do away with the Second Amendment. So... it seems a little disingenuous when people say, oh, all we want is background checks. And then somebody else says, well, the ultimate goal is this.
We have nothing to do with Alex Bennett. Let's just put that out there.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand that you're on the perceived left.
Right, but
Alex
okay, Bennett. Who are 92% of the American people on the perceived left that agree with me on background checks?
No. And I'm actually for background checks, but it also makes me leery about what may ultimately lead to.
Right, but if the amendment is in there that specifically prohibits what you're talking about, a registry or a... Yeah, all right.
Listen, getting back to Germany, there are a lot of guns in Germany. It's a surprisingly well-armed society, but because of sensible regulations, Germany's rate of firearms homicide is 17 times lower than the USA's. It's just this fantasy.
Oh, Jim, there's no connection.
There's this fantasy of the black helicopters coming in the middle of the night to take your guns away because they're registered.
Right.
And you know, people are aware that you have them. It's nonsense. You got to stop watching Red Dawn.
Yeah. I mean,
wearing out your VCR.
It's just we have ceased having common sense. How many gun deaths did you say were in Japan last year?
Like seven.
Seven.
Maybe 17.
And they have a large population.
We don't want that because boom, freedom or something, really? So we're willing to, to have 10,000 of us die a year, which is a carnage. It's a,
that's
people
a massacre.
Right. Newtown was a massacre. We've ceased having shootings. We're having massacres. All right. John McCain yesterday on the Boston bombing.
Certainly is a wake-up call. Every time that there's an act like this, Americans obviously lean towards more security to prevent another catastrophic event. And then we have a tendency, and it's understandable, to become a little bit complacent.
All right. And Secretary of State John Kerry yesterday on the Boston bombing.
Boston is not going to be intimidated by this, but we're going to find out who did this.
And, of course, he served as senator from Massachusetts. He's from Boston.
Yes, so. Of course. Yeah. So police considered making an appeal to the public for more information at a news conference. The FBI canceled the news conference after delaying it several times. There's obviously a lot going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. They have this surveillance video, and as you were saying, it sounds like they've given it to law enforcement agencies. Right. So they obviously know what they're looking for.
I've seen the video of that guy running away, and it's not clear if he's running away from something he said or just trying to get away from the bomb. Right. It looked as if his pant legs have been blown
there,
up.
Yeah. So. There are experts at the FBI who are expert in looking at these kinds of things, right. I trust them to make a determination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on yesterday. CNN was first reporting incorrectly that a suspect had been arrested shortly after they retracted.
So black.
Oh, so wrong.
dark-skinned, maybe.
A security official at Boston's federal courthouse ordered it evacuated. There was a bomb scare there. In Washington, obviously, authorities investigating a letter addressed to the president that tested positive for rice, and similarly, another senator, Roger Wicker of Mississippi. The FBI said late Wednesday it had arrested Paul Kevin Curtis, because he signed his letters, whatever, right? I mean, that was ridiculous. He's from Mississippi. Earlier in the day, they had said there's no indication of a connection between the rice and letters and the Boston bomb attacks. But we were saying a lot of people were making connections between the anthrax things and 9/11.
And then there was an explosion in Waco last night. And it's like all of these weird
is going on.
Things that...
It can't all be coincidental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike in Chicago on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Steph. Hey, gang. Before I get to my point, your last caller, why do all Republicans freak out over the infringement of the Second Amendment, but yet they were as quiet as a popcorn fart when Bush came out with the Patriot Act and the Fourth Amendment prohibits unreasonable search and seizure?
Right.
Yep.
They didn't say anything about that.
Yep.
But anyways, getting to my point, just when I thought I couldn't have any more disdain for Max Baucus, Wednesday during a routine budget hearing, he said, quote unquote, Obamacare is headed for a train wreck.
Right, votes against any sensible gun legislation. He wrote part of the Affordable Care Act, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. And now it's bad enough he voted against Obamacare, but then to add insult to injury, he has to add that audio tidbit, which now Fox is going to run with and say that there's dissent in the Democratic Party over Obamacare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
So I was wondering if you could post on your website or if Chris could how everyone voted in Congress, because the mantra out there is to call your congressman, but people don't know how their congresspeople voted. So right. I think if they have one-stop shopping where they know exactly how their congressman voted, they know whether I need to call my congressman or not. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, good point, honey. Yeah.
Well, I guess we just need single payer then.
I mean, this will be, just so you know, on What the Fox, it'll be all over Fox tonight. The Max Baucus saying he thinks openly that Obamacare is headed for a train wreck. He said, I see a, you know why? Because of people like Max Baucus.
That's right.
That have helped other people talk it down.
Prophecy much?
Yeah, he expects a tough re-election in 2014, trying to recover from approval ratings that have nosedived amid displeasure with the health care law in his state. Oh, that's not too just nakedly, cynically awful. He says he's very concerned, Jim. Very,
very
concerned. Very. You know how senators are when they're very concerned.
Concerned, Joel, is very concerned.
Very concerned. Very, very troubling. Very, very troubling. Everything's very concerned.
Troublesome trouble.
Yes.
We're concerned about the trouble.
It's not quite as troublesome as Benghazi, but it's very, very troubling nonetheless. He's very concerned. Very concerned. To whom it may concern, here's what concerns him. All right. By the way, as we've mentioned before, do not write those letters to us because none of us here are concerned.
No.
So if you say to whom it may concern, it does not concern. We get none of us
right into the trash can. That's right.
Send that letter to someone else.
To your
else.
Trash can.
You might as well address it like that.
Dear trash can, I am very concerned about something I heard on the Stephanie Miller show. if there's any way you could jump out of the trash can and strangle her. Okay. He said, very concerned the new health insurance marketplaces for consumers and small businesses will not open in time in every state. Really? I wonder who could be gumming up the works on that. And if they do, they might just flop because residents don't have the information they need to make choices. Because I wonder who's been putting out misinformation that might have contributed to that subway.
You're turning into Jiminy Clinton, yes, and I don't know why.
He said this administration's public information campaign on the benefits of the Affordable Care Act deserves a failing grade. You need to fix this, he said. It's Sebelius. Wow! Responding, Sebelius pointedly noted that Republicans in Congress last year blocked funding for carrying out the health care law.
That.
And she had to resort to raiding other legally available departmental funds. The administration asking for $1.5 billion in next year's budget. Republicans don't seem willing to grant that either.
Huh.
It's so weird because they're normally so incredibly helpful. I don't know what he's looking at, Sebelius told reporters after the hearing, but we are on track to fully implement marketplaces in January 2014 and to be open for open enrollment. Half the states, most of them Republican-led, have refused to cooperate in setting up the infrastructure of Obama's law, so that might be something that might be. Others, like Montana, politically divided. The overall law provided that the federal government would step in and run the markets if a state failed to do so. Envisioned as a fallback, federal control now looks like it might be the norm in much of the country, straining resources. Administration officials say their public outreach campaign will begin in earnest over the summer. They question the wisdom of bombarding consumers with insurance details now when there's not yet anything to sign up for. Hmm. Which I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
Democrats from reliably blue states have less to worry about since their governors and legislatures have embraced the law and are working to make it succeed. That may be what ends up happening here. We have a smorgasbord of being able to very clearly see where it works because you did what you're supposed to, and the states where you...
Some states try to make it succeed. Other states want to secede.
Right, so, exactly.
Wow.
Right. Oh, Jim, very good. Nicely done,
sir. That was clever,
yeah.
Huh? And it's early.
After the hearing, Baucus's office clarified that he still thinks the Affordable Care Act is a good law, but he questions how it's being carried out. Oh, could you just hush? Shut your pie hole. Okay. Okay, 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
In any amusement hall, that deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour, Mark Foleman from Mother Jones, next hour. He wrote that great piece debunking NRA myths about more guns mean safer schools. They did studies. They got numbers and stuff, Jim.
Mm.
Yeah. All right, Corky in Rochester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the gun debate. Hi, Corky.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
Yeah, I can't blame the Republicans for this one.
Yeah.
There was 4 Democrats who voted against it.
Yep.
That would have gave us the 60 votes that we needed.
Yep. Welcome to the We Hate Everybody show. Thank you.
And I want to ask him a question on that gun debate. You know, if I get hurt by somebody's gun, I don't have health insurance, who pays the bill?
Yeah. How about the
NRA? How you come at this argument from a monetary money standpoint.
Yeah, should make the NRA responsible for
there you
go. Every gun has to have a liability policy.
Yeah.
Period.
Right.
Yeah.
Because at funeral costs, you know what funeral costs are?
Yep.
$5,000 to $8,000.
Yep. Chris, you were saying somebody made a good point about guns as well. You also have something on your lip.
Oh God.
I'm guessing it's cottage cheese.
Yes.
One would hope.
Yes, it is. buying a gun today is easier than canceling your gym membership.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
It is true. Have you tried to cancel your gym membership?
No, because I'm an exercise bulimic. But
well,
no.
You belong to like 8 different gyms.
Yes, I do.
I know.
It's very sad.
I've been here for half an hour and I haven't worked out yet.
It's the hardest 3 hours of my day because I can't move at all. Rick and... I'm spinning in my mind, though. Hello,
yeah.
Rick in Washington. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say this is the Voice of Reasoning calling in to let you know all you liberals.
Hello, Voice of Reason.
I am.
Yes,
I am
right.
The Voice of Reason.
Right.
And we said,
because, hey, hold on there, Fatty. I'll give it to you.
What?
So, hold on, who?
Fatty?
But here's the thing. Is,
did you call him Fatty? You know what?
I have many things.
Oh, no. But I am sorry. We are not. You are not going to poke him with the Husky Boy stick, because that's going to be a whole morning of issues. I'm just erupting like Vesuvius back at Roman Gomez calling you fat. Oh, no.
During silent reading class in fifth grade. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to be the Voice of Reason.
Can he
here,
spend
Daddy?
Any more time in the gym? Look at him. His muscles have muscles.
Oh, I have many things. Fatty? I am not.
See? That's where I draw the line.
I haven't been since ninth grade when I became bulimic. Or not bulimic, but anorexic.
We're just a whole host of issues up in here. All right. Yeah, see, I can call you guys anything. Other people, forget it.
I can't call you Fatty.
Right? Well, you've called me worse. All right. We all remember that morning.
Oh, that was icy in here that morning.
It was a monosyllabic insult, as I recall.
We've been... Not as creatively as you use that word. We were saying about the Boston bombing, by the way, you know, the hallmarks and everybody speculating about people. Because normally, you know, foreign groups will claim credit.
Right.
The Taliban specifically said we didn't do it.
Yeah,
they wrote a piece. Somebody wrote a piece in the Daily Beast. As counterintuitive as it sounds, there was no celebrating among the Afghan Taliban leadership when they heard the news of the Boston terrorist bombings. On the contrary, senior Taliban officials say such attacks on the West are counterproductive, and they fear that such actions can only hurt the Taliban's efforts at shedding its image in the West, that it's a terrorist organization that shelters al-Qaeda, yada, yada, and condones those kind of attacks. You won't find any link in Afghanistan to the Boston attacks, said a former senior cabinet minister in the Taliban. He said the Taliban neither has the inclination nor the capacity for such an attack on the West. He said, we lost to Afghanistan in 2001 because of 9/11 at a time when we almost controlled 100% of Afghanistan. We don't need these incidents to upset our plans again.
Hmm.
Yeah, isn't that nice? They're like, oh, we're busy throwing acid on girls and stuff, so we're, you know,
yeah.
Not that we wouldn't have liked to have done that, but we didn't. Lovely. All right. So we are monitoring whether what the FBI is going to do with this surveillance video or not.
Right.
Let's go to Ken in Philadelphia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Ken. Hi, crew.
No, you're Ken. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, I could see it in the president's eyes yesterday. I mean, I felt the pain myself. I have a point of view. I would like to run it over with you guys. What do you think about term limits now for congressional members?
Yes, I'm ready to get rid of all of them now. I don't know if that's possible or not, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'll get corporate America out of their pockets. They don't know who to throw the money to, and you'll have more of a representation of the United States.
Yep, I agree. I agree.
I've always been oogie about that because that means even if you say Ted Kennedy, for example, was you know very popular in the state and very effective, and if he had been term limited,
then we would have gotten probably a corporate shill
right,
in there
exactly.
after him.
So
but for every Kennedy, you get a Gomer.
Yeah, I know, but you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Right.
I don't.
And
think.
I that's too draconian. If you're going to limit good senators and congressmen.
It just Gomer. It sounds like something you got stuck on your shoe
or on my lip.
Oh, I got a Gomer again. who's got the gooby gone?
Surprise! Surprise! Surprise!
Can we get a Gomer be gone? Some sort of substance that would. All right.
Please.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the explosion in Texas, the Ricin letters, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Mark Fulman from Mother Jones calls in about that great new study everybody's talking about, debunking NRA myths that more guns mean safer schools. So there's that. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or you can call him Fatty. No, you cannot. Our right-wing caller, stop it.
Called me fatty. Wow.
That's gonna.
He thought I was talking.
How many more? Stop it.
No.
How many more therapy sessions have you booked in before in that commercial break?
Oh, I booked four of them.
Right.
Right in a row.
All right. Well, time for some love letters.
That took me back to fifth grade.
Wally in Ottawa, Illinois, was at the Sexy Liberal Show in Chicago Saturday night. Best VIP seats ever. Steph, my nephew Ben, and I thrilled to have had VIP seats at Sexy Liberal Chicago Theater. Unbeknownst to us, they turned out to be the most precious seats any Steph fan could hope for. You may recall when you came down the audience, there were two vacant seats you climbed up on. Ben and I were in the two seats directly behind those. When you leaned forward to greet more fans, we were your support. I wrote a one-verse song about the experience to the tune of We Saw Your Boobs. We felt your boobs. We felt your boobs at the show last Saturday night. We felt your boobs. Okay, thank you, Wally. Like you were the only one. No, of course you were. So special to me. Wait, I'm not done with the love letters.
Well, okay, fine.
Ann in Redmond, Washington. Dear Steph, this is my dog, Colin. Oh, look how handsome and romantic. He curls up in his chair to watch you every day. Whenever you say something particularly funny or insightful, he gives a long, quiet, contented sigh. I can only assume he's agreeing and happy that at least someone agrees with him politically. Oh, Colin, you are handsome, romantic, and politically right. Okay. That's just what you guys do. You sigh. And I'm just going to guess in agreement in adoration.
Yes, Miss Miller. That's all we do is agree with you.
Otherwise, you're always right.
Otherwise, we get a stapler upside the head.
Yes, 2 + 2 = 7. Of course it does.
That's right.
Here, I will throw a staple at myself, Steve.
Oh, good. Very good. Thank you. All right. We've been covering a lot of news breaking left and right, for God's sakes. We were saying that when all this stuff happens at once, where there's the Boston bombing and the Rice and letters, and then they're saying the Texas explosion, there's no indication it's anything other than an industrial accident.
It's kind of a weird
It's 20 miles north of Waco. I don't know.
And it's the same kind of fertilizer that was used in Oklahoma City, and it's right around the Waco anniversary.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and here's the mayor of...
We are evacuating now. We are doing a search and rescue at this time. The nursing home, which was 2 blocks away, has been completely evacuated, and those patients have been accounted for and are... moved to a safe location. We are now going through door to door and evacuating that area and searching for survivors as well as for deceased.
Yeah, people still trapped. There are 15 dead as far as I know. It's injured at least 160 others. As you said, it left leveled homes and businesses for blocks in every direction.
5 blocks in every direction.
Yeah.
And it registered 2.1 on the Richter scale and was felt as far away as Dallas, north of there.
I don't know how many thoughts and prayers you have, but send them to Boston this morning. The president's there in the midst of the service for those victims.
Oh,
obviously, Texas going through a lot of trauma right now. Meanwhile, a Mississippi man was arrested Wednesday, accused of sending letters to President Obama and a senator that tested positive for a poisonous ricin. Paul Kevin Curtis, arrested near the Tennessee state line. Both letters said to see a wrong and not expose it is to become a silent partner. In its continuance, both were signed, I'm MKC, and I approve this message. So who knows what that's about? These letters went to Republicans and Democrats, obviously. Carl Levin said a staff member at his office would spend the night in the hospital as a precaution after receiving a suspicious letter. Suspicious items also came in from at least 3 senators' offices in their home states. So you don't know what's happening, whether these are connected, whether they're copycat stuff, whether the world has gone insane, and dogs and cats are, in fact, living together.
Yes. I think the latter.
Anyone spotted the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? I don't know. Senator Mitch McConnell yesterday on the ricin.
I'd like to recognize the postal and law enforcement officials for their excellent work in detecting and preventing this threat before it even reached the Capitol. They proved that the proactive measures we put in place do, in fact, work.
And yet, the Republicans want to get rid of the post office
and
destroy the unions.
And what dummy thinks the president opens his own mail?
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't make that summit.
Apparently.
I got a bunch of mail.
Apparently, KC of Tupelo, Mississippi, thinks that the president opens his own mail.
I'm going to get him. He's going to open the mail and get a big surprise.
Wiley S. Coyote of Tennessee.
Oh, God.
I'm going to try the movable hole in the mountain next.
I'm going to run off the edge of a mountain and hope that I don't fall.
I got rocket skates coming for you, POTUS. Jeez. All right, Jay Carney.
The president has, of course, been briefed on these letters. He was briefed last night and again this morning.
Okay, and the president's Carney one more time on the Ricin letters.
There was a letter sent to, addressed to the president, that at a off-site, a mail facility, was noticed to have contained a suspicious substance, and tests were undertaken.
Who would like some poison fun facts? Five things to know about ricin. Remember after 9/11, the anthrax stuff?
Yeah.
And we were all like, everybody was I need that Cipro. Well, I have anthrax.
Oh, my God, I haven't heard that word in a long time. Cipro.
I lived in New York after in 9/11.
Did you have a prescription for Cipro?
I need some Cipro. Everyone was getting Cipro like it was, you know, Skittles. It was like, I have anthrax. Yeah. Number one, ricin comes from castor beans.
Yes.
Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it can be quite deadly. Only 2/1,000,000 of an ounce of pure ricin, about the same weight as 1 grain of salt, can be fatal. In fact, ricin is 6,000 times more poisonous than cyanide.
Yeah. So this is not Uncle Ben's ricin.
No, it's not.
But that's if you ingest it. If you get it on your hands and not into your mouth, then it causes a severe
lesion.
It's like that
blistering.
Yeah.
It's like that low T stuff. It's great stuff, but don't get it on your family. Don't get any on anybody.
What the
They'll grow hair where they don't want it.
Jim does the thought bubble.
What the heck? My daughter's leaf is bigger than mine. What the hell?
My wife didn't used to have a penis. What could it be? All right. This is not funny. Everybody settle down. Gentle down. Exposure to the ricin is achieved by swallowing it, injecting it, or inhaling ricin that has been sprayed into the air with an aerosol can, so killing a large number of people would require adding the substance to a widely distributed food or beverage. Mm. Oh, thanks for the helpful tips for terrorists.
Great. Yeah.
The symptom, which I just read. Dummy. Let me turn this on myself.
You are an idiot!
Why didn't you read that part, idiot?
Yeah.
The symptoms are slow to appear. A lethal dose of ricin can take between 36 and 72 hours to kill its victim. It could be anywhere from 4 to 24 hours after being exposed to ricin before any of the initial symptoms occur.
Wow.
Jim's going to start getting them any minute now, now that I've just said that. Do you want me to read the symptoms? Because you're going to have them in a second.
Oh, boy.
You remember that time you had that ectopic pregnancy?
I only eat brown ricin because it's the lower glycemic
index.
Right,
yeah.
More fiber.
Yeah.
Number 4, there is no antidote.
Okay.
This is like, never make a movie with this because there's no antidote.
There's antidotes in movies.
There's no race. The clock racing the clock. Tom Cruise can't bring it to you in time. I don't know what movie I'm thinking of, but someone will tell me.
Oh, every movie has a situation
where
that's the
primary
antidote.
There's a specific Tom Cruise one with the
really. Is it one of the Mission Impossible?
Girlfriend's dying, right? No antidote. If a person becomes aware they've ingested ricin quickly enough, though, they could try to flush their stomachs with activated charcoal. And number 5, ricin poisoning is pretty rare. According to the Washington Post, only one known ricin death was listed in 2010. How about this one? It was Bulgarian dissident Georgi Markov.
Yeah.
He was killed with a ricin pellet that was injected into his skin with a James Bond-style umbrella.
That's back when the KGB was actually doing spy stuff.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right in the neck.
Like really cool spy stuff.
It is not raining. Why are you carrying an umbrella? Oh.
That's why.
Ish mosquito. What? Okay. Ow. With an umbrella?
Yeah.
Wow. Was Rihanna involved? That is terrifying.
Ella.
All right. Okay.
That sounds like in Bulgarian.
Settle down. Okay. Deborah in Chattanooga, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I'd just like to tell that caller who was name-calling a while ago.
Oh, you mean when he was talking to Fatty.
Yeah, Fatty over
there. Yeah, that guy. Well, shame on him because all of you are beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
You're the best caller of the day.
Thank you. I just have a question. I would like to know how a background check or even a national registry, would it infringe on the rights of any law-abiding citizen?
Yeah, Deborah,
only criminals.
Exactly.
Get it. Why do our cars have to be registered and people don't freak out about that?
I don't know. You know, even criminals, I mean, felons don't have any rights as far as guns are concerned, so... You know, they've got to be the only ones afraid of this. I don't understand it. I don't understand how anybody.
Well, it's just a paranoid macho fantasy that the government's coming to get our guns, so we have to be ready
yeah.
and vigilant.
Oh, yeah, I see a lot of that on Facebook, and yeah. it just yeah. makes me sick. But.
And the fact that we haven't done that is proof that it's about to happen anyway
right.
yeah, now.
Okay. If I could play devil's advocate here.
Whatever, fatty.
The difference between guns and car, registering guns and registering cars, is that guns are specifically mentioned in the Constitution.
Right.
Cars or, you know, horse and buggies, or horses and buggies are not mentioned in the Constitution. So they can be regulated any way they want.
Hmm.
That's the difference.
Hmm.
Yeah, but they didn't have those kind of guns back during those days.
I'm just arguing from the other side here.
And it's all,
that's not what I agree, but...
Yeah. And the condition is,
but listen, it's
part
rare.
Of a well-regulated militia.
It's rare that he takes a meal break from eating to say something,
so
let's give him some credit.
So fat.
All right. Now, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, this is so amazing. It's all anybody in my class is talking about.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, Stephen in South Carolina. Hi, Stephen.
Yeah, I want to know why you guys on the left are picking and choosing. There's more people, far more people that die on the highways in road accidents, cars, than guns.
Right.
Now why
and they're
are
regulated,
so,
and you got to register them.
Yes.
So why are we concerned about guns and we're not concerned about cars?
Because cars have a purpose other than shooting people.
Okay. Well, how about people?
Right. And we have cut way back on car debt. We've cut way back on automobile related
because
deaths.
Of regulations,
yes.
Because of better safety features on cars,
because of speed limits and seat belts and no cell phone and texting laws.
Lots of regulations.
Wow.
Irregardless,
lots
we're still
of them.
Irregardless isn't the word.
Government intervention, regulation.
Ooh, they're coming to take our cars. The black helicopters are coming for our cars.
Do we really live in a nation of paranoid crazies like that?
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
After this gun vote yesterday, I just was not in the mood to entertain him this morning. So we just chose to entertain ourselves.
Yeah.
Irregardless. Ooh. Yeah. Irregardless isn't a word. I let that go.
You
because
have to
of that.
Put a sticker on your license plate when you register. Government sticker.
It's fascism. Ah! Communist Nazi Kenyanism.
That is Kenyanism.
All right.
Yes.
It's Kenyanism. All right. I'm getting loopy with everything that's going on. Oh, speaking of loopy.
Wow.
Speaking of loopy.
That was low-hanging fruit. Yeah, that
yikes.
Call.
Sorry. Sorry. You were fodder, sir. Well, it's just weird to start this morning. There's so many of them. Tea Party official blames Obama for Boston Marathon bombing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Of course.
Tea
How
Party,
is it not his fault?
Tea Party Nation founder Judson Phillips, please and thank you, decided President Obama clearly to blame in an email he sent out. He said there are two reasons why we will be hit again. First, we've been a determined enemy who hates us. Second, we have a government that is not committed to protecting America. The reason we'll be hit again is because our government is not committed to destroying our enemy. Radical Islam is our enemy.
So he's already
caught and apprehended
yes.
and, I guess, jailed the suspect,
uh-huh.
who clearly is Islamic.
As brown-skinned
this
Islamic
just
person.
In.
Yeah.
He's just been hired by CNN. Oh, just kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah. Who's... The left is complaining bitterly about Obama's drone program,
right.
which has killed a lot of people in Afghanistan and Pakistan. So what else do you want him to do?
Okay.
Start nuking cities? You know, is that going to help?
Hey, looky here. The Ricin guy from Mississippi, correct?
Yes.
Guess who else is from the president of the Central Mississippi Tea Party, Janice Lane. Please and thank you. Please and thank you. I'm Janice Lane. You know what? Janice Lane looks exactly what you think she would look, doesn't
oh,
she?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Janice Lane says...
She's a noodle back.
Oh, golly.
Took off her lace panties.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties. Stop being noodle back.
She said probably the biggest turn we ever made was when women got the right to vote.
Yes.
Our country might have been better off if it was still just men voting. There's nothing worse than a bunch of mean, hateful women. They are diabolical in how they can skewer a person. I do not see that in men.
Oh, my God.
Well, she has a point there.
Really,
yeah,
Janice?
Yeah, that's true.
Really?
That's true.
Why didn't you make a Hitler joke here? Okay, the whole time I worked, I'd much rather have a male boss than a female boss. Don't say anything.
You kind of broke your mic. There.
The whole time I worked, I'd much rather have a male boss than a female boss. Not you two, right?
Right. Ah, sure. Whatever.
Double-minded. You can never trust them. Wow. Louis Gohmert, who is...
A Gohmert.
Right. Mm-hmm. Louis Gohmert joined Steve King in warning against passing immigration reform too hastily in the wake of the attacks in Boston, saying he's worried that radical Islamists could pose as Hispanics and do copycat things. Nerr?
Is he serious?
Nerr?
Is he serious?
Herp, derp.
We have no idea who did it yet, and he's already...
Right. Right. Gohmert,
I don't like people previously
seen arguing against gun control because gay marriage leads to bestiality.
Sure, obviously.
What now?
It's only logical.
Good thing we apprehended
that radical Islamist Timothy McVeigh.
Right. He's not the first to float that theory. Representative Sue Myrick, please and thank you, reportedly claimed that Hezbollah is trying to infiltrate the United States by going to Venezuela, learning Spanish, then coming up through Mexico with fake documents trying to cross the border. Steve King, the stunning Steve King, and Rick Santorum have also touted this theory.
Sure.
Huh.
And then there's this guy.
Oh.
Texas Attorney General. Greg Abbott, Republican, warned Republicans this week that President Obama's administration and some Democrats in Texas were far more dangerous than North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, who has reportedly threatened to blow up Austin with nuclear weapons. He said the president will be jeopardizing the Second Amendment rights of Americans if he signed the UN arms treaty that's designed to regulate the sale of military weapons like tanks, aircraft, missiles, and small arms. Okay. And look, I don't even have time for the Republican lawmaker who referred to women as vaginas in an email.
Well, that was a Republican state legislator in Virginia.
Okay.
In the state of vagina.
Right. Yes. That's probably what happened there.
Sure.
You know how those vaginas for lovers. Virginia.
You know how those vaginas are.
Right? We'll be back on this one's show next.
Stephanie Miller.
They can't function without me. I'm the social glue that holds this little group together.
Damn, Skippy. 34 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by TheraBreath Mouth Wetting Lozenges. Pop a great tasting mandarin mint. TheraBreath Lozenge and help stop uncomfortable dry mouth fast. I could use one
you
now.
You could use one right now.
TheraBreath Mouth Wetting Lozenges available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores. See? That's why I did that. I made my mouth dry.
To illustrate what it's like
if you don't have one. Mm-hmm. Alrighty then. We have been talking all week about the new research in Mother Jones magazine, because when these, gun nuts, call and try to say, there's no connection between more guns is the only thing that will make schools safer. The headline of Mother Jones, new research confirms gun rampages are rising and armed civilians don't stop them. Mark Fulman joins us now. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. Great stuff, as usual, in Mother Jones.
Thank you.
This is the kind of thing you think we don't need a study for, and yet, because of, people like the NRA and their misinformation, I guess we do, right?
Yeah, well, I think you see that in what happened yesterday with the vote in the Senate, the disconnection between the politics of this issue and the reality of it, as we can see in the data, is huge.
Yep. And we've been saying this, we always get these armchair heroes, right, Mark, in the middle of all these, tragedies. Oh, I would have done this. And the reality is it doesn't happen. I believe in your study, only three attacks were stopped, and they weren't ordinary citizens. Two of them were off-duty cops, and one was a U.S. Marine, correct?
That's right. Well, there are actually two studies here now, Stephanie. Okay. Our study that we launched last July after the movie theater massacre in Colorado, where we studied mass shootings in which four or more people were murdered. There were actually, in those 62 cases that we investigated, there wasn't a single case in which an armed civilian intervened and stopped the shooter. There's now been additional research put out from an academic at Texas State University, hardly a bastion of gun control, I would note, that looked at 84 gun rampages between the year 2000 and 2010, and in those 84 cases found just three in which an armed civilian intervened, and none of them were ordinary citizens. As you mentioned, there were two of them were off-duty cops, and the other was a U.S. Marine.
Yeah, I mean, it really is incredible that it seems to be these entirely anecdotal stories about, you know, how much violence is stopped by more guns, right?
Right. Well, there's just no evidence to support that. I mean, you have lots of the, you know, pro-gun ranters say, oh, yeah, you know, lots of people would just pull out their gun and stop these guys if we had more guns around. But there's just no evidence to support that.
Yeah, exactly. As we've said to many a caller, no, you wouldn't have done X, Y, and Z, Buford. You would have pooped your pants. But it literally, I mean, seriously, in an environment, let's say like the Aurora, I mean, it's dark. The guy's wearing body armor. There's chaos. I mean, you know, what would have happened, to any logical person other than that more innocent people probably would have gotten shot, right?
Right, so you hear a lot of bravado along those lines, right, that you know, people who promote the idea of, you know, citizens pulling out their handguns and going after the guy. I've talked to numerous law enforcement officials about this, and not a single one of them supports this idea for obvious reasons. I mean, the danger is self-evident in a situation like that, and, you know, people in the FBI and in the ATF, local police officials that I've spoken with, you know, they all train rigorously to deal with active shooter situations. They train under acute duress. It takes many, many hours of training and really an essentially extraordinary set of skills to be able to do that without hurting innocent people.
And also, if everyone's armed, how do you tell who the bad guy is?
Right, there's that too. One of the senior FBI officials I spoke with pointed that exactly. You know, when they come up on a scene with an active shooter, if you've got multiple people shooting, how are they going to know who the bad guy is? It makes their job a lot harder.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, as we've said, I mean, I have to ask, first of all, are you surprised by what happened in the Senate yesterday?
Not terribly, I'm sorry to say. It was known, I think, for a while that it would be a tough fight and a close vote. But on the other hand, it is surprising when you think about the fact that, you know, the data is so clear on the gun violence problem in our country. You know, we have more than 30,000 gun deaths a year. Mass shootings and gun rampages are on the rise. And you have almost 90% of the population supporting broader background checks. You know, instead of having roughly half of gun buyers get background checks, let's have all of them get background checks. And yet Congress votes against it.
Well,
so,
and Mark, again, you know, we don't need, you know, studies like yours, I guess, to me, just reinforce what most common sense people already know. I mean, for instance, when the assault weapons ban expired, deaths from assault weapons have tripled. I mean, you know, it's like you can look at study after study, right? The states that have the loosest gun laws and the most guns, hey, guess what? Here's a shock. They have the most gun deaths and vice versa, right?
Well, with the assault weapons ban, it's interesting. I mean, the data on that is, I think, less clear. At least by our study, there's no discernible trend with mass shootings during the assault weapon ban era from 94 to 2004 and after. But that said, yes, I mean, we have seen an escalation of public shooting rampages in the last decade and a half since, and we've certainly seen a proliferation of firearms in the country and laws making it easier to get them and to carry them in public.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's what's stunning is, to again, most common sense people, the things that would help would be a background check, an assault weapons ban, a clip ban. As you say, ordinary armed civilians don't stop these things. What would keep more people alive are the fact that you have to stop and reload, right?
I mean, I think the point here is that, you know, gun restrictions by law are not the only thing that needs to be done to solve this problem.
Yeah.
It's a complicated problem. But that said, access to weapons and access to highly powerful weapons is clearly at the center of it. And right now it's essentially a free-for-all in terms of who can get these guns.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, you know, every element, mental health, all of that. But, you know, these same Republicans are the ones that have voted to cut funding for mental health services, and then they complain that we're trying to take away Second Amendment rights. And you're right, I really thought, didn't you, after Newtown, and maybe I'm just an eternal optimist, I really thought things were going to be different. And I have to say, I've never seen such anger, though. I hope this isn't over, Mark. I don't know what you think.
Well, certainly there has been a shift in sentiment in the American public. But, you know, what's happening politically, I mean, yes, I think after Newtown there was a sense that maybe things would really change this time, but you have to give credit to the gun lobby, to the NRA, and to the Gun Owners of America. I mean, they've been remarkably effective at turning this into a debate over, you know, demagoguery, essentially. You know, I think it's actually pretty amazing that they were able to turn the Manchin-Tooman gun legislation into a discussion of the dangers of creating a federal gun registry.
Yeah, I mean, Wayne LaPierre, crazy like a fox, right? He moved the debate so far to the right, you know, it's the old strong and wrong argument, right?
It's just a flat-out lie, as President Obama himself said yesterday. I mean, that's a pretty extraordinary thing for a president to stand up and say that. And you know, I think it's a measure of the extremity with which this issue was manipulated by the gun lobby.
Yeah, well, and the president said it was a shameful day for D.C. There he is, you know, with the grieving parents of Newtown and Gabby Giffords. And, you know, we couldn't get even the most watered-down version of the, you know, even the least controversial gun measure.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see what happens. I do think, you know, to your question a minute ago about, you know, whether or not this is the end of it, I don't think it is. I mean, I think we have seen quite a bit of political mobilization on the other side of this issue now, and I think we'll continue to see a fight. Whether or not that gets something through Congress remains to be seen. Obviously, it's an uphill battle.
Yep, absolutely. Mark, all great stuff as always from Mother Jones, and thanks for taking time for us this morning.
Thank you.
All right.
Glad to be with you.
All right, appreciate it. All right. Oh, back to the one. There's a straggler in the right-wing world. Oh. The Republican lawmaker who refers to women as vaginas.
Ah.
Mm.
Republican legislator from New Hampshire in hot water after you use the words vagina as a substitute for the word women. You know that happens. Right, penises?
Could have used another word.
Which would be
more offensive.
Way so, more offensive.
Sure.
That's a word
Jewish
that I'm familiar with.
Words around here. State Representative Peter Hansen, Republican of Amherst, was debating recently passed a bill repealing parts of the Stand Your Ground law with another Republican who had argued in favor of retreating from a confrontation rather than resorting to the use of deadly force. Hansen wrote, "What could possibly be missing from those factual tales of successful retreat in Vermont, Germany, and the bowels of Amsterdam? White children and vaginas, of course." Huh? He sort of wrote a not apology, really, but he said, "If you find the noun vagina is insulting or in some way offensive, then perhaps a better exercise might be for you to reexamine your psyche."
Oh, okay, so it's not his problem, it's your problem.
All you oversensitive vaginas out there. It wasn't until Hansen was called out by a state Republican chair who is a woman that he finally backed down some. He claimed he was attempting to get into the mind of the perpetrator and that the entire thing has been totally blown out of proportion. Uh-huh. And he also apologized to those who took offense.
To the vaginas classic, out there.
And to all the oversensitive vaginas, exactly. If they took offense, because they're hysterical.
All those weepy vaginas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What?
Okay. Wow, Mark Sanford has been accused by his ex of trespassing. Oh, dear. This might affect his race.
Poor guy can't get a break.
Mark Sanford's ex-wife has accused him of trespassing on her property. He's due in court 2 days after the looming special election. Jenny Sanford's lawyer filed documents after an alleged altercation on February 3rd. No word on whether he brought the Argentinian girlfriend to the house. But the terms of their divorce state neither of them is allowed to enter the other's home without permission.
He is 10 kinds of cray-cray.
Oh, dear.
Seriously.
Oh, dear. Okay.
How is he in the running to be...
Aquilus. Part 17,
look at me,
000.
I'm trespassing. Look at me.
He asked Jenny Sanford to run his campaign.
Yeah.
How about that?
Wow. How is he in the running for anything?
Yeah, I'm going to take a Pasadena on that, bastard.
Chutzpah with a capital.
Okay, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, I like her.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. Oh, boy. What? Oh, Texas. Oh, boy. Okay. The headline is Texas teacher denies fondling. First grader says she's too racist to molest a black student.
Sure. I don't think she used those particular words.
Wow.
Bucker brings us the story. A Texas prep school teacher stands accused of molesting a black first grade student, claims she is completely innocent. Her proof, she is a racist. 61-year-old Esther
Texas
Irene
again.
Stokes charged touching the private parts of a 7-year-old female student. According to Detective Stokes, insists she couldn't have fondled the student because she's a racist and does not like touching black children.
Oh, God.
Wow.
The defendant stated she doesn't like black students because she was prejudiced. She also told the police she does not like the complainant.
I don't like her.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so that happened. Another edition of that happened. Okay. Anita in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Anita.
Hello, how you doing this morning?
Good.
And I want to call, those four Democrats in the Senate who sided with the Republicans in the Senate, they should be voted out. And I hope this gets people very angry. It's just getting to the point, I think, they're going to have to show these victims' bodies, this devastation that this gun does to people.
Now, and, you know, we had this discussion this weekend,
there, but
Anita.
It's just getting to the point that might start to have to do that.
No, I mean, listen, we had this discussion this weekend, and, you know, certainly not, obviously, without permission of loved ones, but I swear to God, you know, if you look at how aggrieved a lot of these loved ones are and how disgusted they are with what's happening, because you literally think, what is next? What do we have to do next to get, a government to do what 90-something percent of the American people want? I mean, there's only one thing to do, Jim, and that is to do the story about what we've been waiting for all morning about Amanda.
Seyfried.
Yes?
That's my next job. I'm going to be her vocal coach.
Uh-huh. She played Cosette in Les Mis, as you recall. Yes. Her upper register singing voice, one of the biggest surprises in Les Miserables.
Mm-hmm.
She said, deep throating and singing in Les Mis are similar.
Excuse me? What?
That's according to her vocal coach.
Right. She said, imagine deep throating and get that feeling in the back of your throat and then sing. That's where your larynx is.
That's what her vocal coach told her.
She oddly stars as the famed porn star Linda Lovelace.
Damn.
In the musical Lovelace.
Have either of you had vocal lessons?
Yes.
I have. Yes, indeed, I have.
Has anyone ever said that to you? No. And I had a gay vocal coach.
Why I'm gay.
Was not
Really? I don't think
so. Never suggested to me. But then I'm not Amanda Seyfried. Damn. She was also on Conan O'Brien talking about how you make an X-rated movie about X-rated films, not X-rated. And she said that when Linda Lovelace deep throats, she makes slurping noises, so she recreated the sound by sucking on a popsicle, her lips wet and inflamed. Excuse me, I have to leave. I have a gigantic erection right now, the writer puts, helpfully.
Okay, Jim, thanks. Damn. He did quite a bit of research on that story. Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Bookmarked it.
Of course you did.
Anne Frank's stepsister said, yes, she probably would have been a believer. Can we really leave the story
alone?
Okay,
you know what? She does have a point, because Anne Frank did have, pictures of the
movie stars
still
on
incredibly douchey of
it
him.
Was douchey
he wrote in the Anne Frank Facebook or the page, Anne was a great girl, hopefully she would have been a believer.
If he'd been a 1940s crooner,
she probably would.
But he's not.
But it was still
he's
incredibly
a completely
insensitive
self-involved okay,
overpaid.
Hey, I'm just like Beyonce, everybody.
Really?
She's a klutz.
Wow.
Except for being rich and famous and gorgeous. But other than that, she is constantly covered in bruises and cuts because with every music video or energetic dance routine she does, she inevitably takes a tumble. Did I show you all my bruises from Sexy Liberal in Chicago Saturday night? Okay.
Hmm.
She said, it's very rare that I'm not bruised in my life. I'm always bruised somewhere. Me too. I will show you my knees after this, and it's not a Lovelace.
It's kind of hard to put a ring on it when you keep falling down.
Right.
Tumbling downstairs and things.
Really. This is a man story for all of you men there. Mm-hmm. Bruce Willis likes to punch his co-stars to see how macho they are. He just said, I just really like getting punched. Every guy does.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those men things, getting punched and never complaining. We spent decades on a set seeing who could take the hardest punches. It's a game. The first one who complains is a pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Or a vagina.
He probably should. I don't think he should try that with an MMA fighter.
No.
That would be, yeah.
Men are dope. Just a lot of men are dope stories today. I'm sorry. I apologize to both of you penises.
I've never punched anybody.
Really?
I've never punched anybody.
Yeah, I don't. I don't get it. I don't see why that's fun.
I don't either.
Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne, what is going on? It was reported earlier that they had split up, but now, yeah, who can tell? Ozzy released a statement,
I still don't know.
I think he actually said a couple days ago, we have not split up, but I am doing a lot of drugs.
Yes, he did.
I'm doing a lot of drugs and washing it down with whiskey and, and I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay. All right. Dennis Rodman, I think we mentioned this, is going back to North Korea. Probably to re-explain something. I'm sorry. I don't know what
I said.
Sorry,
it was misinterpreted.
What, is Kim Jong-un going to let him fire the missile?
I made a suggestion at Sexy Liberal. Why not Refrigerator Perry? There are better retired Chicago sports. He could sit on him, something.
Michael Jordan, for God's sake.
Yes. Airness. Hello.
Sammy Sosa.
What?
What?
Kim Kardashian in divorce trial. She may be forced to admit faking reality show scenes.
No!
Everything in reality shows isn't real.
Say it ain't so.
My world has come crumbling down.
I'm all dead inside. Chris Humphrey's lawyers reportedly intend to force Kim Kardashian to admit under oath that she staged scene for her show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Shocking.
In a leaked deposition, she revealed at least two. It is revealed that at least two scenes taped after the divorce filing were scripted.
What?
And Kardashian uses a tear stick to cry on the show, and that some of the scenes were even created from scratch.
So disillusioned.
Okay, this has never happened to me at a Sexy Liberal show, but Hugh Jackman says a deranged fan was arrested after throwing pubic hair at him. That is disgusting. Disgusting.
Just, how do you...
TMZ writes, you know what celebrities love? When you break into their gym and throw an electric razor filled with your own pubic hair at them. Just kidding. They hate that stuff, which happened to Hugh Jackman, and the woman was thrown out and later arrested. It went down at Jackman's gym in New York City. Police say the woman was hysterically crying as she declared her love for Jackman and then...
Oh, God.
The razor.
Okay, then. Can you say men are jerks?
Like Jerry Seinfeld used to say, why is it not gross when it's on you, Bonnie, but the minute it's off, it's disgusting. Pubic hair.
Did he say that?
Yes, he did. I think so. Okay, hey, guess what? Go to Sleep is about to come a damn movie.
That's right.
Remember the children's book, Go to Sleep?
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson did a reading?
Did the audiobook of it, yeah.
Right, it's now going to be... movie.
All right.
Fox 2000 turning it into.
How do you flesh that out?
Are there mother snakes in it?
I don't know. I assume there will be no mother snakes in the movie. Okay, that's it for us. Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugel saying tomorrow. We'll see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.